refreshed the tune. We're looking at verses 7, 8, and 9. The Lord is talking to us tonight from his word. And we're talking about the latter day glory of the restored church. The church, yes, now restored. And when that church is restored to the very presence of God, by the very power of God, then there is a latter day glory. Haggai chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Have you noticed how many times the Lord of hosts comes up in just those three verses of scripture? And it says this is not the idea of the prophet. It's not the opinion of a man. This is the very word of the Lord himself. And he has power to put in place whatever he has pronounced. He has power to fulfill every promise that he gives unto us. And now he says in verse 7, I will shake all nations. Everything that will hinder the progress of the church, the Lord will shake it out of the way. In your personal life, in your family life, in your ministerial life, there are some things that might have disturbed you for years. And you are saying, why if not for this and for this and for that, I would have made much progress. Never mind, this is the year, all those things will be shaken out of the way. And then it says in verse 7, it says the desire of all nations shall come. That's the Messiah, that's Christ, and everything that he has. And he says, every blessing we have desired in Christ, everything you have had other people arch in Christ, other people possessed in Christ, the great revivals you have heard about in many parts of the world, Indonesia, Korea, Kenya, in many years ago. It says all those desires that we have, it will come again in Jesus' name. Maybe you've read about just deep feeling, and there's a desire in your heart. You've read about, Judge Mola, there's a desire in your heart. And say, how did those things happen? How is it that those men were able to possess, able to have all those great things that they had? And it says, the desire of the nation shall come. And it says, I will fill this house with glory. This house, when Jesus said this house, the people did not understand. And they were thinking that was talking about their temple. That he said, 46 years, this temple was in building. Are you going to raise it up in 3 days? He was talking about another kind of house. There is a temple now, and that temple is right there, sitting in front of me. And that temple will experience a greater glory. And the church, the Lord has put in your hand, the ministry, the Lord has put in your hand, and he's raised you up and raised me up and raised us up to build it. There's going to be a kind of glory in this latter day in Jesus' name. Verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. You think about the world in which you live today, and you think about the work that we do for the Lord. It takes money, it takes silver and gold. And the silver and the gold, the Lord is saying, don't worry about it, everything will come. I said everything will come. Because the Timon says in Isaiah, the riches and resources of the Gentiles will flow unto you. You are not going to lack in ministry. Everything that is needed to carry the work forward, the Lord said, it is mine. And if it's in the hand of the sinners, in the hand of the people that don't do any effective work, any eternal work, how about us that the Lord has raised up for an effective ministry, eternal ministry, it will come. You will not have any lack. Then it says in verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former. The glory of this latter house. You know, sometimes I'm talking to some people, not even in Nigeria alone. I remember somebody talking to me and say, we're dreaming of the good old days. And I say, what do you mean by the good old days? They said, our church deeper life, 1970 days and 70 days and 70 that, good old days. And we're thinking about that. And then they want me to say, praise the Lord, you are such a good member of our church, Deeper Life, because they want the good old days. And then I look, you know, I just look neutral and I look plastic and they say, ah, Pastor, are you not excited? I said, not really. Why are you not excited? Because you are looking for the good old days. I'm looking for the better future days. Because the glory of this latter house, what God is doing in this hour, what God is doing with us and for us and through us in this hour, is going to go beyond anything you ever saw in Deeper Life in your life. And all of our ministers who are here, whatever success you have seen, and whatever beauty or glory that you have seen in the ministry in the past, something greater is coming. Something higher is coming. And I pray that will come upon every one of us in Jesus' name. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, praise the Lord. Where? In this place. I said, where? I want to talk to you about my dear sister there. You're in the husband, in your husband's house. And it looks like fire is burning. And you know, and you say, it's only the doctrine that is keeping me in this place. Otherwise, wipe away your tears. Wipe away your tears. I see you there. Otherwise, I would have come out of this place. You know what? The glory of this latter house in that family. You'll enjoy that family again. Because everything is going to turn around. This is a new year. And the Lord is going to do something beautiful and wonderful in your family in Jesus' name. In this same place where you have been and you think I need to check out, don't check out, stay there. And it says that I will give peace, says the Lord. And you belong to a local church and you are wondering, am I going to remain in that church? Stay where you are. And I invited the ministers who have come. We appreciate the fact that you have come. And whatever you see here, we didn't bring you here so as to, you know, say, okay, I'm leaving my church, I'm coming to Deeper Life. The glory will meet you where you have come from. Because the glory of the latter house in the church you have come from, whatever has happened there, something better is coming on your way in Jesus' name. The latter day glory of the restored church, the Lord will restore his church. And he will bring great glory upon the church in Jesus' name. We're looking at the message under the threads of Titus. Number one, perceived riches for lost glory. Perceived riches for lost glory. Number two, promised restoration of latter glory. The promised restoration. The Lord is saying he's going to restore the glory that had been lost. The promised restoration of latter glory. Number three, prophetic revelation of lasting glory. That lasting actually means everlasting, lasting glory. Prophetic revelation of lasting glory. Number one, we're looking at perceived riches for lost glory. Why has the glory been lost? Let's think about that. We think about the church. You think about the early church in Acts of the Apostles. You see the power, you see the signs, you see the wonders, you see the miracles, you see the conversions, and you see the way that the Lord just opened up heavens upon them. And even the unbelievers, the sinners, they knew that something was taking place. And they saw glory, they saw power, they saw anointing, and they saw the breaking of yokes. And people are just rushing into the church, being converted and being turned around. It was glorious. And now you look at the church today and we say, where did we miss it? Where did we lose it? We're talking about the perceived riches for the lost glory. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And we're reading from verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And we're reading here from verse 21. In verse 21 it says, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel. Named the child Ichabod. Some people say Ichabod, but Ichabod, because the glory is departed from Israel. What's the reason for that lost glory? It tells us right there, because the ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband, and she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Well, we need to understand the representation of the ark of God in Israel. That was for them the presence of God. That was for them the power of God. That's what then the promise of God. Think about the ark. The ark was where they had the manna that shows how God dealt with them in the past. The miracles he performed, the great things he did. You know that manna, if they left it overnight, it would get spoiled. But he kept it in the ark for many, many years so that they would be able to show their people. That is what God has done. It showed the power of God. It also showed the presence of God. The branch that is the rod of Aaron that had budded was also inside there. Not planted on the soil, and all the leaves, everything, they were fresh. It was fresh because of the presence of the Lord. And then it shows the promise of God. Anywhere they were, the presence of the Lord will be going with them. And now that presence of God, that power of God, that promise of God has been taken away from them. And then this man said, what else do we have when the presence and the power and the promise of the Lord has been totally taken away? Ichabod, the glory is gone. Not only that, he said, Eli is dead, that is the high priest. They want to represent God and stand between God and man and be a bridge between God and man. That one is gone too. That means then the glory is totally gone. And the Levites, the priests were also gone, the husbands of Hophni and Phinehas. And because all that was gone, they said the glory is gone. But don't make any mistake, the ark was still powerful. The ark was still mighty because the Philistines took the ark and they put that ark in the house of their shrine, in their shrine. And without any priest there, without any high priest there, Dagon fell the following day. And then they set up Dagon again, and then Dagon fell head apart and legs apart, everything apart. In fact, they couldn't worship in that place anymore. Not only that, any of the Philistines and any of the Gentiles that touched that ark, they had real plague on them. The ark was still mighty, only that the people of Israel had despised the presence, the promise, and the power of the Lord, and the glory left them. What's the reason for the glory leaving the church? We have toyed with the presence of God. We have toyed with the power of God. We have toyed with the promise of God. And that's why the glory has left. We're looking at Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. We're looking at the perceived reasons for lost glory before we look at the restoration of that latter glory. Hosea chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 4. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Your people are they, like the people that strive with the priest. Well, that's one of the reasons the glory has also left. You know, understand the early church. In the early church, there was just one church. It was the church of Christ. And it was the church of God. It was the church of the firstborn. And in Jerusalem, they just knew the church as one church. And therefore, you don't find Peter knocking John. You don't find Matthew fighting against Bartholomew. And you don't find one minister fighting against the other. But now, because we have different denominations, and it's there. There's nothing we can do about that. We have different nations, we have different languages, we have different backgrounds, and then we have church, their church there. And this church is called by one name, this church is called by another name, but Christ is still the foundation, and Christ is still the Savior, and the Bible is still the guide that we're all following. And then, and it is the same Holy Spirit we still have, but now we are not intelligent enough to know that that's a man of God. I'm a man of God. She's a woman of God. And you're a woman of God. We knock one another. And because of that knocking one another, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And it's not just talking. When Jesus said that, he wasn't talking of just the deeper life house standing together, or just the Baptist house standing together. He counts all the houses as one. And he says, there are believers there, there are believers there, there are believers everywhere. And they're all my children. And they're the house of the Lord. But then, the one that is over this little corner here, the one over this little corner here, fighting against one another, that's why the glory has gone. Even the people of the world, they know that. They know that as long as those churches are fighting one another, they'll never be able to restore the glory. But the glory is coming back. I said the glory is coming back. it's going to take an effort from you, an effort from me, that then what we used to say, we don't say that anymore. The things we used to do, we don't do that anymore. And the stones we used to throw at, you know, the other building, we don't throw those stones anymore, because that's why the glory has left. If the church will come back together and then see Christ as the head of the whole church, not just the head of one denomination. If Christ is the head of the church, and we have that same love and that same understanding and that same unity, that same anointing, the same Holy Ghost flowing through the whole churches, the glory will come back. But it says in verse 4, let me look at verse 4 again. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shall thou fall in the day. When we fight one another, we fall. We're to fight Satan, not fight the servants of God. We're to fight the enemy, not fight our neighbor. We're to fight the people that are opposed to Christ, not the people that are gathering with Christ. And it says, because we fight the wrong battle, and we fight in the wrong direction, then it says, therefore shall thou fall in the day. And the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why the glory has departed. That's why darkness has come in the church. I'm not just talking of one denomination, but the lack of knowledge, the lack of understanding. And it says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I also will forget thy children. That's why the glory has left, because we have forgotten the law of God, the word of God. And you know, many of the churches who have replaced the real word of God with just entertainment. And it says, as they were increased in verse 7, so the siege against me, therefore will I change their glory into what? That's why the glory is lost. I will change the glory into shame, because of the lack of knowledge, because of fighting one another, because of not understanding that we belong to the same Father. We're going to the same heaven. I'm sure that there's nobody that is so narrow-minded that will say, well, I know that when we get to heaven, only deeper life people will be there. That will be so narrow. How about in the countries where there's no deeper life? Nobody will go to heaven there. How about all these other people that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you not read Revelation chapter 7? And it says, I beheld and I saw innumerable crowd that nobody could number, of every tribe, every tongue, and every kindred. And then they came before, say, salvation unto the Lord our God. The church is bigger than just our little denomination, and we need to understand that. And if we understand that, we'll understand that, you know, fight one another, so that we can bring back the latter glory of the church. It is coming back. I said it is coming back. I'm coming back now to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And we're looking at verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Reading from verse 14 all through to verse 16. While the glory has departed from the church. Now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods. And he bowed down himself before them, and he burnt incense unto them. This was an Israelite. The Lord appointed him to be a king over his people. And then if you look at verse 1, that he will even reign 29 years in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, think about that. And then some enemies came against him, and he went to the strength of the Lord, and he overcame the enemy. And when he overcame the enemies and defeated them, their idols and their gods, they brought that back to his own place and began to worship that. Foolishness. The idols that couldn't deliver those people from his hand. The idols of the conquered people, of the defeated people. He brought all those things back. Look at verse 15. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people? which could not deliver their own people out of their hand. And it came to pass, as they talked with him, that the king said unto him, "Art thou made of the king's counsel? Who are you to counsel me? Who are you to talk to me? I can do anything I want." But what he did, everybody knew that this was foolish. Those idols and those gods could not deliver their people from your hand. And now you are coming back and you took those same powerless idols and you brought them back to the land and to Jerusalem for that matter to worship that. And then a prophet now came to him to say, "You shouldn't do that. This is foolish. This is not wise. And truth, are you not thinking?" And he became angry. You know, if the church continues to be angry against the preachers that bring the truth to us, against the leaders that bring the truth to us, and they say, "Why should you say that? Are you made my counselor?" And then it says, and the prophet said, "Forbear, why should thou be smitten?" It was see the person that God held, and see the person that it was through the ministration of a man of God that he actually got the victory. And now that he got the victory, he turned his back on God. He turned his back on the prophets of God and said, "Forbear, don't counsel me, don't talk to me." And then the prophet forbear and said, "I know that God has determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and has not hearkened to my counsel." Do you see why the glory has departed from the church? It's because, you know, the church has gone back to the powerless things that they brought many, many years ago. When Christianity came to our land, when it came to Nigeria, when it came to Africa, many of those people are worshipping idols belonging to secret cults and belonging to this, they forsook everything. And those who are polygamists, they corrected all their lives. They will not allow them to take the Holy Communion those years. If they are two wives or three wives, they corrected everything, and then the glory of the Lord was there. And at that time, if anybody was sick, they would just read the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And when they said, "The glory and the power and everything belongs to you," the fellow was healed. And all their charms, all the juju and everything, they just threw everything away. All those who belong to secret cults, they departed from them. The glory of the Lord came upon the church. But as time went on, these same churches and these same people, they went back to those secret cults again. They went back into idol worship again. They went back into polygamy again. And now the glory is departed from the church at large. I pray the glory will come back. I said the glory will come back. But how will the glory come back? If those who have some understanding of the word of God, of the gospel of grace, those who have some understanding of what the gospel and the light is all about, like deeper life, if we stay in our corner and we are kind of fenced off from all the other churches, no interaction, no participation, no cooperation, nothing touching the lives of other people. But by the grace of God, we're going to change everything like that. I said we'll change it like that. Yeah. Ye are the salt of the earth. And it is, if you do what I'm doing, you reach out, and then when you go there, we talk intelligently, we talk nicely, we talk the gospel, we talk the word of God, but we talk in such a way that the message will be acceptable unto the people. That's why how the glory will come back, and the glory is coming back. I said the glory is coming back. We're not going to, you know, go back to all the things that we learned before. That is all these churches, they go back in secret cult again. We're going to tell them that is where we have lost the glory. There was a time when Nigeria was the giant in Africa. And we're not going to complain about the giant becoming dwarfed. We're going to bring that giant back to its position. Nigeria will rise up again in Jesus' name. We're looking at the reasons why the glory has departed. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 1. We're looking at verse 21. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "How is the faithful city become an harlot?" The faithful city has become an harlot. The glory is departed. It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it. But now murderers, the silver has become dross, the wine mixed with water. The princes are rebellious and the companions of thieves. And everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards, the judge not the fatherless, neither does the cause of the widow come unto them. He said that's why the glory is lost, because the priests became rebellious, or the princes rather, and they were companion of thieves. And it is when we repent and we turn around that the glory will come back again. We're looking at the New Testament now. We're looking at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. The glory that was there before, how it was lost. If we know it was lost, we'll not bring it back again. Galatians chapter 3, and I'm reading there from verse 9. Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather, and known of God, how turn ye again to weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? When the church was free and the church had the liberty to serve the Lord and to follow after the Lord, the glory was there. But now Paul the apostle said, church in Galatia, in the province of Galatia, how is it to have turned back to beggarly elements, to go into bondage again? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. And then in verse 15, look at verse 15, it says, where is then the blessedness ye speak of? The blessedness we are, the glory that we are, where is that glory now, or that blessedness now? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're looking at verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5 from verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You know, some people that will say, well, that doesn't matter, that's a little thing, that's a minor thing, that's something we can overlook. Little drops of water make a mighty ocean, and that's the reason why the glory has departed. Look at Malachi chapter 2, Malachi chapter 2, we're reading from verse 4. Malachi chapter 2, reading from verse 4, the reason why we lost the glory. And now we're going to discover the reason too, how we can bring back the glory. Malachi chapter 2, verse 4. And ye shall know that I have seen and I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life. That is when the glory was there. The covenant of the Lord was with them. And peace, the peace of God was there. And I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. When we trembled before the law of God, before the word of God, and we respected and honored the name and the word of the Lord, the glory was there. In verse 6, the law of truth was in his mouth. Iniquity was not found in his ears. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. That's in the past. He did that in the past. And the glory was there when righteousness flowed in the church. Holiness was in the church, and purity was in the church. Sanctification in the church. There was glory. And then it says, for the priest lives in verse 7, should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now look at verse 8. But ye are departed out of the way. That's why we lost the glory. That's why the church lost the glory. We departed from the way. He have caused many to stumble at the law. Instead of bringing many people away from iniquity, the priests and the preachers, the pastors and the proclaimers, they were now causing many people to stumble at the law. He have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. I've been partial in the law. There are some churches, they take only about 5% of the whole Bible, all their doctrines, everything, just about 10% of the Bible, 15% of the Bible, and a lot of other things. They might be just someone new. They say, well, that doesn't matter. We're just going to keep this little corner of truth. They became partial in the law. And that's the reason why the glory has departed. But the Lord has promised that he'll bring back the glory again. and the glory in our own time, your own time, my own time, the glory will come back in Jesus' name. Point number two now, the promised restoration of the latter glory. Promised restoration of the latter glory. We're coming back to this Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2, reading from verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord, be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, says the Lord, and walk, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord says, his presence will be with us. From this day on, from this time on, that ark is coming back. That power is coming back. The promises are coming back. And because of that, it says, be strong. Ministers, be strong. Preachers, be strong. Pastors, be strong. Overseers, be strong. All ye people of God, be strong. In verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. The spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, with his anointing, with his power, with his authority, the glory coming through the Spirit is coming upon the people of God. The Spirit that brings conviction, the Spirit that brings conversion, and the Spirit that leads us and needs to be fully, completely surrendered, soul, spirit, and body unto the Lord. That Spirit that immerses us in the anointing and the power, in the freshness, and then the anointing that breaks the yoke comes upon every life. He says, my Spirit, that Spirit I give unto you, that power of the Holy Ghost will come back again. On every individual, on every family, on every local church, on the whole church, it says, my spirit will never leave you, will remain with you, fear ye not. In verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once, and it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of the nations shall come, and I will fill this house with what? When God says, I will, nothing can beat back his son. When God says, I will, nothing can hinder him. Then he says, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Brothers and sisters, look up here. You know, sometimes they talk about, poor country, indigent country, developing country. You know, they have all these adjectives of countries. But, you know, I've been wondering about these countries, you know. And then I'm learning that the budget for this state, just state, this billion of naira. And then these others, the billions of naira. I'm telling myself, but they said they were poor, and there's some billions. But the question is this: if the government of the world can provide billions for the work they want to do in 1 year, the God of the whole universe, the God of heaven and earth, can he not provide enough resources for us to build the church? Will he not provide? He will, because the church is more important than the secular government. Even if they know that, God knows that, we know that, the Bible says that. And if the church is the most important entity in the whole universe, in the whole world, what will God not provide for his soul? Dream the dream you want to dream, and then all the things you need to do, the projects you need to put everything down. Where will the money come from? It will come from on high. When Elijah over the brook Cherith, when all the other people were suffering hunger, there was famine in the land, Elijah still got enough food to keep him alive. And the church will have enough resources to keep us alive in Jesus' name. And those of us who are young in deeper life, you need to understand where we're coming from. This place you see now that we call the IBTC with all these buildings here, you know, 1980, when we came here, it was actually like nothing. Let me tell you a little bit of story for you to understand that if God has done this for us, the Lord will do it for you. In your personal life, he'll do it for you. In your family, he'll do it for you. In your local church, he'll do it for you. 1980 December, I wanted to have December retreat. And that time, we just got this. How did we get this place? The way we got this place is that 1979, we got a particular piece of land on the Shagamo Ibadan Road. And then we negotiated, he told us what the amount would be. Then I came to tell Deeper Christian Life Ministry at Oyinbo, then Bible study, and I said, we've got the land here, we've got this, and we're going to have what we call IBTC, and now begin to contribute, and they were contributing. And then some people that had more money than we had, they went behind, and they told those people, you want to sell your land to those young people, we have them, we'll pay you right now. And he paid them extra. And then those people called me and said, we are sorry, we are selling the place to another church. And I said, that's all right, thank you very much. I came to the Bible study. A few of us who are here will remember. I said, now I have news for you. And you promised me something that you are going to forgive the people before I even tell you what it was. And they said, yes, we'll forgive. I said, tell me again. They said, they forgive. I said, all right. The land of the, you know, way to Ibijibana and the Shagamo, some other people, they need it more than us, and they have paid for it, and they have got it. You promised me you are going to forgive. Do you forgive? They said, yes. And then we had nothing. The following week, one sister came to me and said, there is a land there somewhere. That's IBTC here. I said, take me there. And then I got there and saw, but nothing like this there. Just one shed for, you know, smelling with the, you know, the what drops out of chicken and all that. And everything. It was bad. And then that's why we came over here. I said, okay, because now this one we're going to get it. So I spoke to the brother that had the land. And the brother that had this land is a member of the church that bought the other land, that got the other land. See how God was. And then I came here, and then we cleared everything. We had one little shed over there. And I eventually wanted to have the Congress, something, a church growth conference there. We had nothing. 1980, when we got this place, December retreat, we had 2,000 naira in our account, Deeper Life. The whole of Deeper Life, think about that. But I didn't tell anybody, and I said, we're going to have a retreat. And then we came from Kaduna, came from Kano, came from all over Nigeria. And we had about 70,000 people here. And before that retreat, we had just about 2,000. By the end of the retreat, we had surplus food, we had surplus everything. Where the food and the money came from, I don't know. But what I know is God will provide. He will do it again. I said He will do it again. And then wanted to have a church conference, and look at this place now. This was not there before. And then the architect drew the whole plan, and then all those sisters, they were not there before. And then I just called them. I said, we're going to have this. And they were looking at me like, it's only that, you know, in Deeper Life, they don't say no. Once I say, God said, do this. He said, yes, we're going to do it. We're here now by the grace of God. Is it good?
Yes.
Hostel, is it good? But this is just the beginning.
Yes.
Something greater is coming.
Yes.
And it will happen in your local church.
Yes.
Just follow the Lord, because the silver belongs to Him. The gold belongs to Him. It will be done in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And then it says in verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. Wake up in the morning and say, praise the Lord. This may be the day of my breakthrough. Because the glory of this family, your own personal life, and your own ministry, the glory of the latter house will be greater than that of the former in Jesus' name. That's the restoration the Lord is bringing. He'll bring it your way. We're looking at Psalm 84. I'm reading from verse 7. Psalm 84, verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. You will go from strength to strength. You're not going to go down, you're going to go up. You're not going to go back, you're going to go forward. And every desire of your heart, the Lord will fulfill, personal, family, ministerial. The Lord will do it in Jesus' name. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're looking at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're looking at verse 18. We're moving forward. And you are moving forward. It says, but we all, how many of us? We all with open face, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Strength to strength, faith to faith, glory to glory, we're moving on and we're going to get there. I thought you want to get there.
Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 60, and I'm reading from verse 1. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Every promise you read here is yours this year.
Yeah.
You're not going to pass it on to your neighbor. Your neighbor will have enough. Your fellow brother, your fellow sister will have enough, but you are going to have your own too. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, arise and shine. The year of shining has come.
Amen.
The glory will come back upon your life.
Amen.
All the tears are wiped away.
Amen.
All the lack, all the limitation, everything is gone in Jesus' name. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon who? Upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Not just that you will know it, we will see it. Your neighbors will see it. The glory of this latter to be restored, you will see it in Jesus' name. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. You are going to have many combats this year, you will be surprised. And the kings to the brightness of thy rising. VIP, important people, political people, they have real, real conversion. They will come to worship in your church. In verse 4, lift up thy eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. No loss of your children anymore. No loss of your wife anymore. No loss of your husband anymore. Thou shalt see and feel together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged. You are going to be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. That's what God said. Can God do it? Will God effect it? The abundance of the sea to be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaoth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with the acceptance on mine altar. I will glorify the house of my glory. The Lord will do it. Look at verse 15. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. In verse 18 says, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting or destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be an everlasting light, and the days of your sorrow, your crying, your weeping, the days of your mourning shall be ended. This year, get ready to learn how to laugh, how to smile, how to rejoice, because all the past sorrow and mourning, everything is gone in Jesus' name. Thy people shall all be righteous. You know, people complain and they say, you know, we preach holiness. The people are not holy. That was in the past. This year, we are going to be holy. And this year, we are going to be righteous. Thy people shall all be righteous, and they shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting and the works of my hand, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. The Lord said, it will not come late. It will not come late. It's going to. He is, and it's going to come upon your life in Jesus' name. Point number three now, prophetic revelation of lasting glory. Prophetic revelation of lasting glory. The Lord is revealing himself to us, and he's saying that lasting glory is going to come. Lasting glory is going to come. Do you remember how the glory was lost? Because they took the ark away. How are we going to regain that glory then? Bring back the ark. 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. We're looking at verse 17. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And we're looking at verse 17. As the Lord has promised us prophetically that the glory is coming back and the glory will be everlasting. It says, bring back the ark. Look at verse 17. It says in verse 17, and they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place, in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. The number one thing then, bring back the ark. The presence of the Lord, bring it back. The power of the Lord, bring it back. The promises of the Lord, bring it back. You have enough promises in the Bible for every day of the year, every situation in your life. You wake up in the morning, drink in some of the water of the promises, and take in some of the bread of the promises, and then go in the strength of that promise, bring back the ark. Number two, bring back the book. Bring back the book. We're looking at Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, I'm looking at verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're looking at verse 1. Number one, you bring back the ark. Number two, bring back the book. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Bring back the book. Bring back to the pulpit the book. Bring back to all the workers the book. Just bring the book. This book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth. You meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt have good success and make your way prosperous. You will prosper in Jesus' name. Number three, bring back the altar. Bring back the altar. Yes, the glory will come. The glory will come back again. How will the glory come back again? Number one, bring back the ark. Number two, bring back the book. Number three, bring back the altar. In 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18, I was looking at you from verse 13. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 13. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and they repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Bring back the altar. And it was when he brought back the altar, and then at the time of the evening sacrifice, he began to pray. Number four, now bring back the fire. Bring back the fire. You know, the reason the glory was there all the time with them is that the fire was there. Look at the tabernacle for the children of Israel. The Lord lighted the fire there. And he said that fire must be continually burning. And as long as the glory was there, the ark was there, the fire kept on burning, but eventually the fire died down. That's why Elijah came to the people and said, where is our fire? What are the signs and the wonders? Where is the hand of the Lord? What are the things that we had that God did in the past? And then he repaired the altar. Bring back the altar. When you bring back the altar of prayer, then it's time to bring back the fire. Verse 36 of that same chapter. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day. Any other day? I said, any other day? This day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the doors and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." Bring back the fire and the glory will come back again. Number five, bring back the signs. Bring back the signs. You know, the children of Israel, they had a special sign. And that special sign followed after them. That's the reason why, you know, when the spies went to Jericho and they met Rahab and they, you know, they said, "This is what the Lord wants to do." And Rahab said, "Yes, we know. We heard of the signs, what God did in Egypt and how He parted the Red Sea, this happened, that happened. We have been hearing about the signs." And everybody is melted. All the enemies, they are afraid because they knew the signs of the people of Israel. But later now, after the ark was gone and the Philistines came over them and then they kind of overruled them and they oppressed them, their signs were gone. That's why in Psalm 74, we're looking at verse 9, "We see not our signs." They began to complain, "Where are the signs that the Lord told us about?" And Gideon asked that question, "Where are the signs, the miracles and the wonders that we had God did with our fathers? Let somebody bring back those signs. We see not our signs." There is no more any prophet. Neither is there any among us that knoweth how long. But thank God when somebody said, "We don't know how long it will be before the signs will come back." And then look at Isaiah. Isaiah said, "I know how long. I know how long. It's as long as my decision, as long as my desire, it's as long as my devotion to the Lord." Look at what he said in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18. "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion." The signs are coming back. I said the signs are coming back. Bring back the signs. Number six, bring back the minister. Bring back the minister. You know, if you have the attitude of ministers are bad, ministers are weak, and ministers, you know, they are nothing. If you have that idea, you're not going to bring back the ministers. Yes, we know somebody can be discouraged. Don't you remember? Moses one day was discouraged, depressed. Somebody brought him back. There was a word that brought him back. There was a time his hands were heavy and the hands were hanging down. And when the hands were hanging down, there were two people that stayed by his side, one with this, not criticism and not throwing stones at Moses because he was weak. And they lifted up his hands, "Bring the ministers back." Even Elijah, our prophet of fire, his time came when he said, "It's enough. I'm not better than any of my fathers. Bring the ministers back." I have to show something. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 15. Somebody must have the mind, the desire, and the assignment to say, "I'm going to reach out to those ministers. Those who are down, I will lift them up." And as we bring back the ministers, after all, we as ministers in deeper life, we cannot do the work on alone by ourselves. And it's when we reach out to the ministers and we bring the ministers back that I believe the glory of the Lord will come upon the whole church, the body of Christ, in our country, in our continent, in Jesus' name. Daniel chapter 10 verse 15, "When he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground. I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, 'Oh my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength.'" Look at what Daniel said. "I had no strength at all because of the vision I see. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, 'Oh man, greatly beloved, fear not.'" Brothers and sisters, fear not. Be Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Bring the ministers back. Number seven, bring the people back. Bring the people back. The Lord is challenging us and he said, the glory will come. The glory will come. When one will bring back the ark. Two will bring back the book. Three will bring back the altar. Four will bring back the fire. And five will bring back the signs and the wonders. And then six will bring back the ministers. Seven, bring back the people. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, 2 Chronicles chapter 19, 2 Chronicles chapter 19, we're looking at verse 4. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 4. Verse 4. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba unto Mount Ephraim, and he brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. He brought the people back. The Lord is saying, the glory is very near. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. And all we need to do is just, you know, the people around you there, bring them back to God, encourage them, lift them up, and let them know the promises of God, that God is willing to forgive, and God is going to forgive, and his face is going to shine upon us once again. And as we bring all this back, the glory is back already. I said, the glory is back already. Can it come back tonight? I said, can it come back tonight? Why don't we stand up then and just say, Lord, fulfill your word and fulfill your promise upon your people. Let's bring back the ark once again. The sign of the presence of God, the sign of the promise of God, the sign of the power of the Lord. Bring it back. Bring it back. It doesn't take too much effort. Look at what Elijah did. Elijah just repaired the ark, the altar. And then he said, Lord, let these people know, I've called upon you, I've done everything according to your word. And just as he was praying, the fire fell. Let's talk to the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, we want our glory back. We want the resplendent glory of God back on this, on the church, the whole church, not just our little church, not just our little denomination, on the whole church, the body of Christ. We want the glory back, and it will come. It will come. Bring back the ark. Brothers, sisters, bring back the ark. The ark had been in the house of Obed-Edom, and the blessings of God came upon the house of Obed-Edom because the ark was there. Go take that ark and bring it back to where it ought to be. Bring back the book, the word of God, this book of the Lord. Don't allow it to depart from you. Bring it back. Bring it back. And bring back the altar of prayer. Altar of prayer at home, altar of prayer in the church, altar of prayer in the ministry, altar of prayer among the workers. Bring it back. And when we bring it back, then the glory will come again. About our signs and wonders, our signs and wonders, bring that back. Our signs and wonders, healing the sick, that's our sign. The sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they cast out devils, and in my name they lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. Bring our signs back, and then bring back the fire. Fire in your soul, fire in your heart, fire on the altar, and fire in the zeal of the Lord among the people of the Lord. Bring back the fire. Bring back the ministers. Don't discourage anybody. Don't push down anybody. If somebody is down, don't trample on them. Lift them up. Bring the ministers back. What if somebody is backsliding? Is that an excuse for me to trample on them? If somebody has committed sin, is the time for me to bury them alive? If somebody has done so, has made a mistake, is that enough for me to then crush them and then kind of destroy them and bury them alive? Bring them back. Bring back the ministers, and then bring back the people. Go back home and go and encourage your people. Let's all come back to God. Let's all come back to God. It's a loving God. It's a wonderful God. It's a merciful, it's a compassionate God. Bring back the people, and the glory will come again. The glory has come already. The glory has come already. The strength of the Lord will be your strength, and divine energy will search through you. You will not be weak again. You will not be weak again. That glory has come. That glory has come. That glory has come. Just rejoice in the presence of the Lord. He has brought us back, and we will bring other people back. In Jesus' name we pray. And the militant, victorious people of God said, the glory has come back. Everybody says, the glory has come back. I feel it in my soul. I feel it in my spirit. I see it with faith. It has come. It has come. It has come. I have the glory. My family has the glory. My local church will see the glory. Our denomination will see the glory. The body of Christ will see the glory. It is back. I said it is back. I said it is back. Put your hands together and celebrate the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory. The promises of God are yes and amen. It will not fail in Jesus' name. Why don't you raise up your hand? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, because this indeed is a new year. It's a year of blessing. It's a year of breakthrough. It's a year of breaking forth. And it's a year of glory. Oh Lord, I pray that all the shame of the past, everything will pass away in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, all the sorrow, all the tears, all the crying, all the weeping, all the regret, and all the failure and all the defeat of the past, that the people of the world are asking, where is your God? Where is your God? That question, Lord, it will not come out of their mouth anymore. They will see so much miracles. They will see so much signs and wonders. They will see so much power. They will see so much authority. And they will see so much dominion and deliverance that they will shut up their mouth. That, Lord, all the shame of the past, clear it away in Jesus' name. According to your promise, you said the Gentiles shall come. And said the king shall come. And said that all the resources of those Gentile world, it will flow into the church. Oh Lord, we're asking that no church represented here, no family represented here, we have any lack anymore. In Jesus' name. Everything shaken, we're shaking out of our lives, out of our families, out of our ministries, out of our churches. In Jesus' name. Lord, help us from this very day that we'll bring back the ark. Help us, Lord, we'll bring back the book. Help us, Lord, we'll bring back the altar. Help us, Lord, we're going to bring back the fire. Help us, we're going to bring back the signs. Help us, Lord, we're going to bring back the minister. And Lord, we're going to bring back the people of God, the whole church, in Jesus' name. This will be a year of multiplication, a year of signs and wonders, a year of miracles. Lord, before we pray, you'll be answering the prayer. While we're yet speaking, answers will be coming from heaven in Jesus' name. And the people in the church will say, we never saw it like this before. We never saw it like this before. Every Sunday is sunny day. Every Sunday is sunny day. A successful day. And every day of our lives will be a strong day and a mighty day in Jesus' name. You have brought us back. We'll not go back to the world anymore. You have brought us back to the glory. We're not going back to shame anymore. And we pray that from now, from strength to strength. Now from glory to glory. From joy to joy. From one day of celebration to another day of celebration. You have done it, Lord. Every need, every lack, every limitation, I pray you supply all the needs. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your lack, everything is supplied. Limitation, everything is settled. And then everything you lost in the past. You lost this, you lost this, you lost this. The Lord will multiply and bring it back to you. This year is a year for you to rejoice. You have cried enough. You have been sorrowful enough. You have failed enough. Enough is enough. Glory has come. That glory will remain. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, praise the Lord. You see that kind of 1998 clapping? That is New Year clapping, New Year clapping, New Year celebration. And joy will never stop in your life in Jesus' name. Lord, every need, every lack, every limitation, I pray you supply all the needs. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your lack, everything is supplied. Limitation, everything is settled. And then everything you lost in the past, you lost this, you lost this, you lost this, the Lord will multiply and bring it back to you. This year is a year for you to rejoice. You have cried enough. You have been sorrowful enough. You have failed enough. Enough is enough. Glory has come. That glory will remain. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, praise the Lord. You see that kind of 1998 clapping? That is New Year clapping, New Year clapping, New Year celebration. And joy will never stop in your life in Jesus' name.